Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of So True with Sophie Ross. I'm your host, Sophie Ross. This podcast is sponsored by Dormy Lingerie, your destination for all things lingerie, loungewear, swimwear. And Adore Me just launched their first ever bridal collection for brides-to-be, or those who know brides-to-be, or those who just like pretty white lingerie. Go to adoremy.com/bridal-lingerie and use my code SOTRUE10 for $10 off. Whether you're a bride-to-be yourself or you know someone who is, because what bride-to-be doesn't want new lingerie? I have a very exciting show for you. I'm joined today by Cara Berry, host of Everyone's Business But Mine podcast, an overall hilarious person, at Cara B Tweets on Twitter. Everyone follow her. She's amazing. We dive into everything from Summer House, and the rumors about Craig getting kicked out of Kai Manda's wedding. We talk about the new season of Selling Sunset. Boo! Tomatoes, tomatoes! Boring! Jack Harlow, the Kardashians, of course, R-H-O-B-H, if you know, you know, and Pirates of the Caribbean. You're just going to have to listen, but it's a really fun episode. Thank you so much again for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, despite my vocal fry, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. It would mean the world to me. It would mean the world to the podcast. It would mean the world to Bob, our producer. I hope you enjoy the show. Guys, I am here today with another one of my favorite people on the internet, Cara Berry. She is the host of Everyone's Business But Mine podcast. It's an amazing podcast. Everyone needs to check it out. Cara, I know we've had some technical difficulties, and this is our third time doing this intro, but how are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. I'm like fun, sexy, free, all of the things, you know. I'm happy. We're on the precipice of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiere. I'm excited.
That was actually on my list of things to talk about with you. So I'm going to get to that. But first, I wanted you to kind of, because I'd gone on your podcast before, like 2 years ago. It was when the Micah Stauffer stuff kind of broke and we were talking about that. Can you give us a little like rundown of the Micah Stauffer situation?
Long story short is the classic tale of a white woman adoption gone wrong. She is like, you know, semi-religious family, Instagram influencer, YouTuber family. They decided to adopt an Asian boy. Things did not go well. He had a host of issues that may or may not have been induced by the care of the family. But one day, out of nowhere, they announced that they have given this child up for adoption, and it's very strange. Many people had questions, and we tried to break it down, and I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I, to this day, have never seen or come across a more wild story about a YouTuber. And she was a very successful YouTuber before all of this happened, which is how people kind of got onto it, because all of a sudden Huxley, who was her adopted child, she had four biological children that had names like, do you remember their names?
Like encyclopedia, like oatmeal. I don't know.
Yeah, like Jekyll or something. Yeah. Jackson Hole. I don't know. But either way, she, all of a sudden Huxley disappeared from her content, and people were like, where's Huxley? It's been a while. And he did have some cognitive issues that she actually was warned about before the adoption. But it's a whole rabbit hole. We don't need to get into all of it again. If you want to get into it with us, we did it on Everyone's Business But Mine like 2 years ago. It was May 2020. It had to have been, because that's when it happened.
I think so. It's our anniversary.
I know. Oh my God. Happy Annie. Okay, Cara, I want to talk about you, your background. Where are you originally from? I know you're in New York now, but tell us a little bit about how you came to be the successful podcasting queen, New York City gal that we know today.
I moved here like maybe 12 years ago from Atlanta. And yeah, I had a podcast all about the Kardashians several years ago at this point, and decided to do my own thing. And I just was like, I need to not focus on just this family. So I'm going to talk about everything. I went so far from one specific to like, I talk about everything in pop culture. It's been such a fun ride. Yeah, everything from Bravo to what's going on with Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, the whole gamut.
I love that about you because you do it so well. Like,
thank you.
You crack me up. You guys, if you're not following Kara on Twitter, you have to follow her. Like, she cracks me up so often with just like you have such like biting commentary in so few words. Like, you'll just like, I love it. And it's very like, I feel like our senses of humor are similar in that we like to our humor sometimes comes at other people's expense, and it's usually celebrities.
Yeah. And we love that.
Wait, was it your thread? I can't remember whose thread it was, but I want to say it was yours and give you credit, comparing Courtney to Corey Feldman.
Yeah. Proudly, it was me. I think I might be onto something. Thank you.
Iconic. Please, everyone, go look up that thread right now. Probably you can just type Kourtney Kardashian, Corey Feldman.
Definitely you can. I got to update that, actually. Thank you for reminding me.
The resemblance is truly striking. How are you? Have you been watching like the new Kardashian show? Like, how are you feeling about it?
I feel pretty good. I feel like we're definitely getting aspects to the family dynamics that we wouldn't have gotten on the E! Show, especially with like Travis and the engagement of it all and how Courtney's kids weren't there and how upset they were. So I'm liking it. And I believe the upcoming episode is Khloé finding out in real time, the producers are saying, that they just happened to be at her home when they found out about the lawsuit, the paternity suit against Tristan. So I'm like, tingles right now already.
You have butterflies just thinking about it. How convenient that they happened to be filming in all at Khloé's house.
That's what they said. They were prefacing. They're like, we know it sounds weird, but we did genuinely happen to be there.
That family. I hate to admit it. It's funny because my last guest, Gibson Johns, was saying, he was like, don't hate me for this. I am obsessed with the new Kardashian show. I can't get enough. Yeah. And I told him, I was like, I haven't. And I actually told Ryan the other day too on the podcast that we do. I was like, I just like have not made the time or had the time to watch it. Like, I feel like if I really was like on edge, I'm like, when I really want to watch a show and see what happens, I like obviously make time, but I'm kind of like, it's a back burner show for me. Like, I watched the first episode, and then since then I've kind of just like, maybe I'll watch it when I have nothing else to watch. Like, I just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I call those Saturday shows, just like if I'm home, I just happen to turn the TV on sort of thing. So I totally get it. Like, you're not missing anything major. Anything that you need to see is going to come across your timeline. So, you know, you'll get it.
Exactly. That's how I feel. And I feel like, I mean, everyone's saying it's definitely a step up from the E! Show, like for sure, keeping up. But like, I kind of stopped. I was such a huge fan, and like, it came out in 2007. I was a freshman in high school, and I was like obsessed when I went to Miami. I went to the Dash store, and then over the years, obviously kind of tapered off. And then towards the end of Keeping Up, it was like, oh my God, these are all stories that we all were obsessing over 6 months ago.
Right.
And yeah, the show couldn't keep up with the Kardashians.
With itself. Yeah. It became really tedious, and redundant. And yeah, like, it was a vehicle for them to address things we had already heard about. So yeah, I definitely understand why you wouldn't be interested. And I'll take that burden for you. I'm happy to do it.
How much do you think, I'm curious to hear what your take is, because I know that they had a lot of control over at E. I don't think they have as much control over the Hulu show. Like, what do you think? Obviously, they still have the filters and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, E was definitely like
they were putty and he was putty in their hands, really. And, you know, a lot of things got to be glossed over because of it. Because Hulu's not also a news show, you bring up a great point, or a news station, like they don't really have that sort of loyalty to them that you might. So, yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see like how they might be protecting them. But so far, so good. I'm feeling great.
You're loving it. I also was going to say about here's my next question. So with like the Pete Kim arrangement, Keat, if you will, if you really think about it, and I've mentioned this before, that NBC is syndicated with Hulu, syndicated by Hulu. SNL airs on NBC. Obviously, The Kardashian Show is on Hulu. And Amy Schumer made an appearance on the most recent or some recent episode. What channel or what streaming service is her new show, Life and Beth, on? Hulu.
Hulu, yeah.
They sat at the Disney table at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Kim and Pete did.
They're an NBC Universal family at this point. And yeah, I mean, I'm loving where you're going with this. They treat Amy Schumer in the first few episodes like she and Kim are besties, and it's so awkward and stilted. And like Amy Schumer's acting as her mentor, and it just doesn't make sense. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around Kim and Pete. I still, like, sexually, visually, I can't picture it. And that's how I know. That's, like, how I determine a real couple. Like, if I can picture you having sex, then I know that there's something real there. And I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I'm so with you on that. And I actually have read a blind item on, like, I think it was blindgossip.com that they have not banged it out. But
I believe it.
Yeah, and I've been saying the same thing, that I just do not sense any chemistry there whatsoever in their body language, in the few, like, glimpses of when they were at Ripley's Believe It or Not, and she was kind of like, take your two hats off.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think there's, like, any actual chemistry there. I think that it really is for show.
It really has, like, this is the only kind of cute guy at the bar, so I'm just gonna, like, flirt my way through the night energy. And it just doesn't work for me, but I love watching it.
Yeah. And it made sense, like, just timing-wise, because Kim, I feel like, did kind of need a storyline. She wanted to get headlines for her next relationship. Who's gonna get her headlines more than Pete Davidson, you know? And I'm sure, you know, If she wanted to be seen with, like, Brad Pitt would want nothing to do with it. I'm sure there were other celebrities on the roster. That was another blind item that I actually read, that they went through, like, politicians, A-list celebrities, and, like, none of them was really into getting involved with the Kardashian machine.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, despite being a juggernaut themselves, like, in the bigger universe of celebrity, like, they can't quite make it work. Like, I mean, no shade to Lala, but that's, like, Kim's most famous friend, you know, and I, after 12 years, it's just not adding up for me.
Yeah. After 12 years, you better have more famous friends than Lala, Anthony.
And like, Kim Zolciak Bierman, Chloe, get away from her. What are we doing?
Like, seriously, what are they doing? No, but you're so right. And they're very, like, new money. I feel like in everything they do, the birthday parties, the balloons, the thousands of balloons and million-dollar flower arrangements. It's like, oh, my God, we get it.
The Taylor Armstrong of celebrity. Yeah.
Baby, there's no plane. That's actually a perfect segue. That's a perfect segue, because we need to talk about this. We're recording this before the premiere. Do you get, like, a screener?
No, I'm not one of the screener girls, not yet, but I'm hoping one day that somebody will recognize me and give me a screener. I'm sounding very grateful and like I deserve them right now. So,
I'm very excited. Manifesting screeners. Yeah, seriously. I actually, this was a recent conversation I had about all of the people that do get the screeners, and they make it very known that they get screeners without outright being like, I get a screener. They're like, just watch the premiere of RHOBH It is something, you guys. You're not going to believe
every
it.
Every time.
Every time. And I'm like, shut up. We get it.
That's so funny. We see each other, Sophie. We do.
I know. We really do. We really do. But I am so excited. This is Beverly Hills and Potomac, I think, are just like my top two franchises at the moment that I actually am like, it is must-see TV. Like, I watch OC. I watch other ones. But it's like, I need to park my ass on the couch. And actually, hopefully we're done by the time Beverly Hills starts. Because, yeah, we have a date. We have a date with Kyle Richards. Like, that was the first one I could think of. Ew, Kyle.
Has Beverly Hills, like, always been your favorite?
I would say I started out on OC.
Interesting.
OC was my first. So I feel like OC I'm always the most loyal to. Like throughout my life, but I think throughout the years.
Sorry for that. Apologies for that.
I know. That's a rough road. It used to be so amazing.
Yeah.
It used to be amazing, and then it just went downhill. And now we're kind of like at rock bottom, unfortunately. But Beverly Hills definitely had its, I would say, puppy gate. Was it puppy gate?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they called it? Puppygate.
Yeah,
Puppygate. The Denise, Brandy of it all. They've had their weak moments, but overall, I think between the drama and like the lifestyle, it's just like fun to watch. It's like lifestyle porn, I think, more than a lot of the franchises, more than any other franchise, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I just started rewatching from the beginning. So now I'm at season two, and just like going to see Adrian's home, just like, you just don't get that, you know, we don't get that. We don't get that anymore. But
Camille's estate.
Oh, I like, could you just die? Like, I have one in Hawaii that's like as big as the whole county. It's just unbelievable. But I will say that Beverly Hills, like, the girls talk, and that is a good aspect of the show, is that there's big Beverly Hills discourse.
The first two seasons are so dark.
Incredibly dark. Incredibly.
But I will say, the greatest episode of all time that's never been topped. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No. I'm excited, though.
Dinner Party from Hell.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I will say, though, the time where Brandy hosts a party in Malibu, and then we get the Taylor pointing moment with the cat meme.
Yes.
That, I mean, having watched it recently, it's also a pretty underrated episode, I would say.
Well, it made history. It's like that. Yeah. It's just iconic. So yeah, that, I mean, Beverly Hills season one. And that also was kind of before this genre of reality star that we have today, which is people trying to promote their businesses and gain Instagram followings. It was just like genuine drama. It was before there was backlash on social media. If you had a bad episode, they just like did whatever the hell they wanted. So I get nostalgic. Yeah.
Brody Jenner's mom in the background talking about Love and Light and why can't we all find peace just randomly. Like, the impact, the history.
Oh my God. What are you most excited about this season of Beverly Hills? What are you most excited to see?
It seems like we're getting very quickly the villainization of Kathy Hilton, which I'm very excited about. And I heard that Crystal said that her biggest beef is with Garcelle, and I'm very confused about that.
I'm concerned about that. I need that alliance because I mean, Crystal, Garcelle, and Sutton were my trifecta.
The dream team.
My team, the dream team. Yolanda voice. Yolanda, oh my God, that's a whole other can of worms.
I thought I saw her in the Lower East Side, and I was like, oh my God, like Candyman. I was like, I got to get out of here. It wasn't her, thank God.
Candyman. all of a sudden, all of your faucets, it's lemon juice. Oh my God. I know that Bravo released like the first 10 minutes of the premiere. Mm-hmm. I watched like 2 minutes of it because I just like forgot to go back and watch the rest. I love how Sutton just like gives no fucks about Dorit's robbery.
Sutton is such an interesting person because she's
so annoying. And yet she makes some points. Like, sometimes I just have to laugh at her. Just nature. And I struggle with Sutton. I really do.
She's so annoying, but like so lovable at the same time. Yeah, and yeah. She also has enough money where she does not need the show. Like, that's, I think, because I feel like the thirst just permeates from Lisa Rinna's pores.
Right. I want Sutton to talk more about how wealthy she is.
$300,000 a month just from getting divorced.
It keeps me up at night for the rest of her life. For the rest of her life.
For the rest of her life, all she has to do is never get married again. And she gets $300,000 a month for the rest of her life. I'm sorry. It's unfathomable to me.
Yeah. It's like the wealth. And that's just one of like several things that she gets out of that divorce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She like owns part of like a baseball team, which she like didn't even know she did for a while.
Can you imagine being that rich?
No, honestly, no. No, I could only dream. I think her ex-husband was a like a hedge fund guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I knew hedge fund guys made money, but like $300,000 a month money, like that's insane.
That's what I thought. It's giving Tom Girardi a little bit, like, you know.
Oh,
let's move on. Next subject. Next subject.
We'll see. The truth always comes out.
All right.
But I'm actually, I know that Erica does not care that everyone hated her last season, apparently, because she is coming in guns blazing again, like showing no empathy to the victims of her husband's Ponzi scheme.
She's weird. And that's just really the only word for her at this point. These like randomly popping up on Twitter and being like, boss bitch, like, I'm going to clap back at my haters. Like, why don't you guys bring it to me, guys? Like, I'm bored. I'll whatever. It's weird. Like, you're a grown woman.
But she still has fans. Like, there are so many fans still gassing her up on Twitter. I'm like, don't even like, I know that a lot of people are doing it ironically, but it's like, don't feed her ego. Like,
disengage.
That is oxygen for her. She, like, lives and dies for the attention. Like, just don't give it to her.
I agree. I don't like it. It's teenage to me.
Yeah, yeah. Not into it. I'm very excited for that. I'm also very excited. I know that Potomac, I think, is still filming. I'm so excited to see what goes down with Ashley and Michael Darby's divorce.
I mean, have we as a society not deserved something more than to see this divorce go down? Like, I'm so excited. If that was the whole season, I would be fine.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Seriously. Yeah. I'm like, I'm excited for also, like, I know that a lot of people say Ashley is like complicit in kind of going along with her husband's like sexual harassment. When she clearly knew what was going on, but like he was still allowed on camera and on TV because she was kind of waiting. It seemed like she was waiting to like eventually divorce him, but I'm excited. I always root for Ashley because I love Ashley. I think that she's just fun and she, I heard, is very nice in real life. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for her new era.
She's a great housewife. You don't have to like her, but you do have to respect what she's given as a housewife. And, you know, like, should we be mad at her for getting the bag if all of this has been strategic? I mean, kind of. Like, it's dirty, but, you know, here we are.
But you have to respect it. I have no choice but to stand. Literally, like, I'm so excited for Ashley. Also, did you watch this most recent season of Selling Sunset?
Absolutely. I love my girls. I'm in high heels. I'm watching the show every day. Yeah.
What did you think of this season?
I mean, like, I'm still very invested, but like the Christine Quinn of it all is just very weird. Like, they seem very focused on her despite wanting her out, the rest of the girls. And so I don't know what they're thinking, but what else happened? Like,
nothing else happened. It was so boring. I thought the season was so boring. It was painful.
It was boring.
I could barely watch it. Chrishell and Jason, I really thought it was fake the whole time because there was like a total lack of sexual, like what we said about Keat, like just no sexual chemistry at all.
None.
What happened when you pictured them having sex?
Just a lot of, you know, just, it's a mismatch. We all know it's, it.
Yeah, the height thing, the height thing. But then when I saw them at the reunion, though, I was like, okay, I actually, like, maybe this was real.
It was so uncomfortable how he, like, could not get in control of his emotions. Like, okay, this is too much to be fake.
He was so emotional. And also when someone, I guess when Tan, the host, was like, a lot of people are saying this is a showmance. He doesn't talk like that. He has like a posh British accent, but I don't know how to do those. He basically was like, people think this is a showmance. What do you say to that? And Jason was like, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. It's like asking me if the earth is flat.
Yeah.
Like, so that, dramatic.
That part really made me laugh. Like, okay, girl, we clearly practiced this before we got there, but I'm going to let you slide because he really shed a few tears after that.
I kind of bought it because he got like actually emotional, and the fact that they like were like, was this a showmance? Like, they really put it out there. I feel like if it were a showmance, they'd be like, maybe don't ask that because like we don't want to, I don't know. But like,
yeah,
I kind of bought it.
I've heard interviews with Chrishell and I get an authenticity from her. I know people don't really like her, but I get the sense that she like gets it. She like understands all of it in like a genuine way.
I'm a big Chrishell fan.
Yeah.
Big Chrishell fan. I genuinely think that she is like a good soul at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, I know a lot of people are like, don't really buy into it. They think that she is like the syrupy. It's like too sweet. And I'm like, I think that's just who she is. I really think she's a sweetheart. Maybe it was because she grew up being the smelly kid.
I mean, we have been burned by like the sweet Southern girl before, Brittany Cartwright. So could understand why people would have their hesitations.
Wait, did you see that Jax finally announced that they're moving to Clearwater, Florida?
Shut your mouth.
It's official. They're moving to Clearwater, Florida. They're to getting what? Out becomes, of LA.
To become Scientologists? Like, what are they going to do there?
Yeah, to become, he's going to be the social media manager of the Church of Scientology.
Wow. I'm going to run to see that announcement.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Reddit or something. Or like he did a cameo for something.
He would reveal that on cameo.
I know, right? He's always like, if you're ever in town, hit me up. And I'm like, he like really needs friends, it sounds like.
Are they in Italy for the wedding?
Wait, is that what's in Italy?
Yeah, Stassi and
Stassi and Bo's delayed Italian wedding.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, I unfollowed Stassi. I saw that they were in Italy. Oh yeah. Okay, I'm just seeing it now. Oh my God, Stassi is so annoying. I used to be the biggest Stassi stan, but no, it didn't look like, maybe they are actually. I need to check, like, I need to investigate on social media. But Stassi said in her book, in her new book, that they were going to get Valley Rules spinoff show.
Right, yeah. But I also saw that Sheena said that she didn't know what that meant, but I also like wouldn't put it past Sheena to like not be included in something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But I feel like Jax maybe was like waiting to see what would happen with that. He like probably really thought they were going to get their spinoff, and then it became clear that it wasn't happening. And then he was like, okay, now we can finally move.
Clearwater, Florida. I feel like you're lying to me. Like I feel like that can't possibly be true.
It's true, baby.
You blew my mind. Okay, wow.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Very exciting news, you guys. Adore Me has launched a brand new bridal collection for the first time ever, specifically a category just for brides-to-be. And even though I'm not personally a bride-to-be, I know a lot of brides-to-be and a lot of weddings that are coming up, and I know how important it is to gift your bestie some good lingerie for bachelorette party gifts, bridal shower gifts, something that will make them blush in front of their sisters-in-law. You know how it is. So if you are a bride-to-be, why not get something sexy for your wedding night or honeymoon also? Either way, there's something for every type of bride, whether you're a fairy tale wedding bride, a city hall bride, or a this is my third time down the aisle bride, no judgment. Go find something new, get it, on adoreme.com/bridal-lingerie. And don't forget to use my code SOTRUE10 for $10 off. Okay, Kara, enough Jax Taylor talk.
Please.
Even though I know we could talk about him all day. What is one thing that you're like obsessed with right now?
Okay. So this is like a little bit old, but I'm obsessed with the theory that Lea Michele can't read.
What is that theory again? Like, where did it come from?
It came from TikTok. The lady who did it has, frankly, a lot of receipts, and she made a compelling point. And there were just like a lot of things over the years of like her not being able to read or having lines spoken before she repeats them. It seems, I think she's dropped a lot of points, honestly, and I'm here for it.
Oh my God. I need to find the original TikTok because I've just seen people like mention it here and there. I need to actually like watch, like dig into the evidence.
Yeah. It's like a compelling theory, genuinely.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't even feel bad because we've all heard by now that Lea Michele is a nightmare to people that aren't famous and people who work on set with her. So,
Please. Yeah. At this point, the girl from Plainville is a comedy for me. I don't know if you know, but they keep like referencing the Glee and Lea Michele of it all. And it's very funny.
Oh my God. I totally forgot to watch. Maybe I did watch the finale. I don't know. I feel like it kind of fizzled out for me towards the end. Mm-hmm. It started out strong, but I kind of like lost interest, but still a pretty good show regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that theory, by the way, about Lea Michele. I need to like dig into it more.
I'm also really obsessed with the new Real World Homecoming. Have you been watching it?
No, tell us about it.
It's so good. We're back in New Orleans and it's just such good television. There's one former cast member named Julie who has just been like peak Karen through and through. Like she just does not get it. And the way that the other cast members are having to navigate her like horrendous behavior is just must-see TV.
Is there a streaming service that it's on or is it just on?
It's on Paramount Plus.
Okay, Paramount Plus. So was this the New Orleans original cast coming back?
Yep.
But this wasn't the New Orleans with Jimmy. Remember Jimmy the Southern Girl?
No. What an icon. Yeah.
I met her in New York a couple of years ago, actually.
Really?
Yeah, she lived in, like, I think the same apartment building I lived in at the
time.
That's
iconic. No, not her. This was, like, the 2000 cast.
Yeah. Okay. I need to check it out because I've been seeing a lot of tweets about it.
Really good.
Meanwhile, I've been obsessing over the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, which I never was, like, into before. Uh-huh. But people keep being, like, you know, like the CGI isn't what it used to be. And they keep pulling up examples of all these amazing Pirates of the Caribbean, like CGI moments. And I'm like, okay, maybe these movies are as good as everyone is saying they are. And my boyfriend's obsessed. He's sick with COVID right now. Oh. And he's obsessed with Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. And I was like, just watch POTC. Just watch it all day and get your rest. So I've kind of been getting into the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise for the first time ever. I saw the first one like forever ago.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen any past the first one. So what's your conclusion? Are you loving it?
I am enjoying it. I mean, I still like have a ways to go to finish it because there are like 25 movies. But it honestly has so many iconic moments.
Mm.
Like, do you remember in the first movie when the pirate is walking? You probably don't remember because you were like, I don't care. This is Pirates of the Caribbean from years ago. But like the pirate, the bad one, he like walks out from the shadows and he turns into a ghost as he's walking out of the shadow.
That was the moment. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yes. And he's like, you best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. You're in one. And it's like just so iconic.
Well, I'm happy for your journey.
Thank you. Okay. And now I want to know, what is one thing that you are cringing at right now?
So earlier today, I saw an interview that Jack Harlow did in which he did not know that Brandy and Ray J were siblings. And I was just like, I understand that he's 23, but like, you can't, first of all, that's like basic information. Secondly, he appeared to know more about Ray J than he did Brandy, which is like a crime against humanity. Like, that's not how it should go.
I really, truly do not. And I actually met Jack Harlow like briefly when I was at this like Met party thing, and he was like nice enough. But I have never been on the Jack Harlow train. I do not understand the hype.
I don't get it either. And I'm like, I at one point had was like actively trying to understand what it was. And it's just not for me.
Also, like, yeah, that's basic information, especially if you're trying to make it in the hip hop world.
Yeah.
You should know Brandy and Ray J are siblings. That's basic information.
Yeah. So I'm boycotting him. Protest Jack Harlow. Hashtag protest Jack Harlow.
Yeah. I know that some clips of him at the Kentucky Derby were like circulating.
Him with Drake.
He had his security guards carrying him around. And people were like, yeah, that doesn't look right.
The optics of, yeah, two black men carrying a white guy so he doesn't get his shoes dirty. Not great. Not
especially great. In the South. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Let's not do that.
Like, 2 seconds of thought, we would have maybe,
right,
you know, just workshop this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And him and Drake, like, rapping.
Drake was wasted. And honestly, it was delightful.
Drake is so like wholesome. Like, I love how he tries to be like hard all the time, and everyone just like, he's just not. Like, I just look at him like he's so wholesome.
Yeah, he's like your little brother. Like, so what are you doing? What are you doing?
What are you doing? Okay. What I am cringing at right now, I feel like you will appreciate. I am cringing at Paige DeSorbo on the Summer House reunion.
Sure. Yeah. I think a lot of people are.
Like, I have so much to say, and I said some of this on Ryan's podcast also when we recapped the reunion part one, but like, the way that she takes information, she gloms on to other people's business and takes that information, like, uses it against them, like Lindsay and her miscarriage. And yeah, no wonder Lindsay wants nothing to do with you. Like, she has had her mean girl click for 4 seasons in her bed, talking shit and gossiping behind everyone's back.
Right.
And not confronting anyone. That's not good TV. It's like, it's fake. It's just like, oh, I just hate it. And the way that she was gaslighting Lindsay into being like, well, you weren't welcoming to us when we were new on the show. It's like, first of all, that was 3 years ago. Second of all, like, what? Like, you're just rewriting the narrative suddenly.
The victimization that she was trying to do, like, with Carl, of like, you were trying to say that I was coming for your sobriety. I would never do that. And it's actually awful that you would suggest that. Like, I hate when people do that. Mm. Turned it around on you. And yeah, she was really like, I don't understand what the aggravation is. But my frustration with the reunion is that like, she started to talk about that dynamics, or like everybody would start to talk about the dynamics that we don't see on the show with regard to their relationships, but like, we weren't really getting into it. Right. And I just need to know. I want to know like what's really going on.
There's something. And I actually have been reading up on how Craig was apparently so wasted at Kai Manda's wedding that he got kicked out.
Yeah.
And yeah, that it was like not good, that he was super disrespectful, that he was very, very coked up, which should come as no surprise to those of us who watch Craig. And yeah, I think that he's probably I've never really been a Paige fan, but like something, he doesn't like Lindsay. She clearly was like seething with anger towards Lindsay for some reason. Everyone was like, what's your issue with Lindsay? Like, what did she do? All Lindsay does is just like try to have fun and like get dick down. That's all Lindsay does.
Lindsay does not live by girl code. She lives by like truth and like black and white. And people don't like that. Like, it's just not how most people operate. And so it comes off as very like cold and like rude. But technically, on paper, if we just read what she did, she's not really wrong.
Wait, elaborate on that.
Like, is it wrong to, she could hook up with Austin all she wanted to. Like, she had the right, he's single, she's single, he, you know, didn't make any attachments to Sierra.
Yeah.
But is it girl code to do that? No, it's it's definitely against girl code. Luann would say that, I'm sure. But yeah, it just like, you know, I think things get like misconstrued, and I think Lindsay doesn't understand because she is right. It's just like not correct in society.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with you on that for sure. Like, I feel like Lindsay was never going out there to be malicious. Like, nothing she was doing was like malicious. It was just like not, you do have to be more careful when you have a girl in the house that's clearly so obsessed with this guy that she has slept with before.
Right.
It's just the fact that if you turn it around and you're like, well, what about in Winterhouse when Lindsay was in love with Austin and Sierra got with him anyway?
Right.
So it's like, was that girl code? I don't know. But it's like, either way, the apologies that they were all demanding from Lindsay while kind of brushing over like the wine glass, and even like the things about, she said about Lindsay having victims, like that was like glossed over. And Amanda was like coaching Lindsay through how to make an apology. Like, please, please.
Yeah. That like the Amanda of it all, I was like, okay, girl. I mean, just like Carl said, which is what I said, which is what makes me think that Carl listens to my podcast, but I'll move on, which is that like, they just weren't getting what they wanted from Lindsay, and it just pissed them off. And like, that's not really her problem.
Yep. Yep. They wanted her to react. Like, they wanted to activate Lindsay and for her to look crazy. And it like wasn't happening. She wasn't like giving any sort of reaction. Mm-hmm. It's just like so interesting how people still are like, well, I think that Lindsay and Danielle are clicky. I think they're clicky also. It's like, do you ever see them laying in bed talking shit about everyone? No.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very good point, a very good point that you don't. They really seem to stick to their own. Yeah, I don't know. I love the show. I love the show.
I know. I need to, like, get a new personality now that it's about to end because it's, like, what I talk about every episode. But I guess now Beverly Hills is starting again.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot to cover there.
Did you enjoy Winterhouse?
I enjoyed it. I know that people like have said, oh, nothing really happened. I'm like, I liked seeing like the hookup drama and all of that stuff. Them just like getting fucked up. Yeah. And even though I think I hate Craig and Austin like more than I ever have after this season of Summer House.
Yeah. Yeah. But did you see the TikTok of Craig and Madison?
Wait, Craig and Madison. Madison! Yeah. That one?
Yeah. They're like doing like a buddy little TikTok dance on her account. And I'm thinking, I just need to know how that happened because from point A to point B, like, I need to know that journey.
Right? Because they hated each other. I wonder if something with Craig and Austin happened and he's like,
fingers crossed.
He's so, yeah. Oh my God. They're both so immature that like they would do that. They would do TikToks with each other's exes just to like spite the other one.
I know. But that's
like,
great.
They're both so immature. What Maya said that Austin apparently was like, your opinion doesn't matter. Like, I belong in this house more than you do. Like, the audacity, the entitlement. I swear both Craig and Austin think they're, just because they like feel like they're on top of the food chain in the Bravo celebrity world, they think that they're like A-list celebrities in real life.
It's such like weirdo frat behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? I truly was like this close to doxing Austin after Maya said that. Like, what is his problem?
You should have.
It would have been worth it. He's so gross. Like, I know. In every sense of the word. Ugh.
They're clearly the types of guys that hate women unless you're a woman that they want to have sex with.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, they're just horrible. And I'm not looking forward to seeing them on 3 different shows Now, next is going to be, I guess next would be Winter House, because Southern Charm, has Southern Charm filmed yet? Yes.
I think they've started. I know that she filmed, Paige filmed with Pat Altschul, but that feels like they did that like a year and a half ago. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with that. But Paige is going to be on there. It's like, I am done with Paige, honestly. If you could, like, decide on next year's Summer House cast right now, like, are there, is there something that you would change or people you would get rid of?
Honestly, no. I'm like maybe the only person who's really advocating, because I'm feeling very strongly that they're trying to push Luke out, and I need him. I like him in the house. Like, he's vital to me.
We need Luke.
Yeah.
We need Luke.
We need Luke.
I'm so glad that Luke got vindicated after Hannah Berner tried to make him seem like he was, like, evil.
Yeah,
that he was, like, manipulative.
The emancipation of Luke Gulbranson is in full form, and I loved it. I really did. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, loving the idea of, like, all these couples in the house. Mm-hmm. So I need, like, maybe two different love, like, single people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to need two different. I'm going to need more single people.
I want, like, a really good love interest for Luke, actually. I think that'll, like, get more, because he was hooking up probably with people outside of the house. We didn't get any of that, like, Luke screen time, that Luke drama. Like, let's get him someone that he's going to be excited about in the house.
I agree.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I want that for all of us.
Yeah, for all of us, for the people. Okay, I feel like that's it on the Summer House stuff. Oh my God. This was so fun, Kara.
So fun.
I love talking with you and podcasting with you. To whoever sent in a little like question thing that was like, I would love to see you podcast with Kara Berry. And then I was like, we have before, but it's time to do it again. You inspired me to slide into Kara's DM. So thank you for that.
You got it.
Thank you so much, Kara. Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, I have a podcast called Everyone's Business But Mine that you can listen to everywhere. My Instagram is at the same name, Everyone's Business But Mine. I have a Patreon at EBBM Podcast, where I cover Netflix documentaries, what's going on with like the Bethany Ever After universe, Lindsay Lohan's series with Oprah. Like, there's so many random things in there. Check it out. Yeah.
Amazing. And then what's your Twitter again? Is it Kara B Tweets?
It's Kara B Tweets. Yeah.
Kara B Tweets. Please go follow her. She's seriously like one of the funniest people on Twitter. I swear to God.
That's Kara After Dark. It's a little, little too hot for TV.
Your alter ego. Okay, Hannah Montana. Okay, Kara, thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, please come back anytime.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That was so much fun. Thank you so much to Kara for joining. Everyone, please go follow her at Kara B Tweets and check out her amazing podcast, Everyone's Business But Mine. Thank you so much to Adore Me for sponsoring. Don't forget to check out the first ever bridal collection at adoreme.com/bridal-lingerie and use my code SOTRUE10 for $10 off. Thank you so much to Bob Mallory for producing. He's the best in the biz. Thank you again for listening. If you want to leave us a 5-star rating and review, it would really make me smile. And if you are going to miss me over the next week, you can follow me on Twitter at Soph Ross with 4 S's at the end, or Instagram at Soph_Ross. I'll see you next time. Love ya.